From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in to the Steakhouse Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. A beautiful Friday morning in March in Atlanta. Drew Butler here running point on this awesome Friday. Joined alongside by my guy Mark Zeno. Of course, Day-Day's in the house. G-Money, Bo. What's going on, Z, man? It has been a long time since I've been in the studio, yeah. But it's been even longer since I've seen you. How's spring going for you?
Things are going well. I'm sorry that you have to be forced to spend the next 2 hours with me. I know it's not your ideal set of circumstances.
Next 4 hours, because we're on Monday as well.
I know. You really got screwed in this whole thing. You should probably call your agent.
I don't have an agent. So if anybody's listening, let's get an agent, and then we could address this situation with me being stuck with Mark Zeno. But look, I've been following you. You were just down in Florida, went to Yankees spring training with the boys. How was that?
You're hitting it. Okay, so
the experience. I'm just asking about spring training with the boys.
Okay, it was great to take my kids to spring training.
Yes.
Let's lead with that.
Okay.
I had never been, in all my years, had never been down to Yankee spring training, ever.
And what, is that in Clearwater?
No, Tampa.
Tampa.
And been to that's where the Rays are going to play this year, their home games at George Steinbrenner Field.
All of their regular season home games will be at the Yankees spring training facility in Tampa. All right, I didn't know that.
So, because the stadium got damaged in the hurricane.
Gotcha.
The dump that was Tropicana Field. This might be a blessing in disguise.
Correct.
Because Tropicana Field was a dump. Nonetheless, would you like to know what it costs to get into Yankees spring training?
Per ticket? That's a great question. $125 a ticket.
$150 to $200.
There you go. That is pretty impressive.
And they couldn't re-sign Juan Soto.
Was it crowded?
It was packed.
Yeah, of course. They could raise the tickets up to $200.
And by the way, it was opening day for spring training. I paid a secondary market. I got them for $80 a pop.
Wow.
Five seats, me and my two kids and my parents.
Is it worth it, the access being closer, you know, a little bit smaller, obviously, than going to the Bronx?
Yeah, definitely a little bit smaller. Aaron Judge didn't play that day.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
My kids saw guys who were going to be picking up garbage in about 2 weeks for seven innings.
I think they'll be doing better than just picking up garbage.
I'm sorry. They'll be riding on buses to remote locations
to
in Durham, North Carolina, and Biloxi, Mississippi, and everywhere else to go play minor league baseball.
Speaking of New York, though, I was just up in New York. My wife and I, we celebrated our 11.
SNL, right?
Yeah, we went to New York to celebrate our 11-year anniversary.
My
it was an
God.
Absolute blast. So my wife used to work at NBC. She was a page, and then she worked at the Today Show, and some of her close friends are now working for Saturday Night Live. So about 8 weeks ago, when we're trying to figure out what we want to do for our anniversary, we sent out an email and a text message to a friend, and her friend said, yeah, we're actually taping a live SNL on March 1st, which was our anniversary. So we went up there. Shane Gillis was the host. Tate McRae was the musical guest. And it was awesome. We had a total blast.
I have a question.
Yeah, please.
What's it like to have somebody like you for 11 years?
We might have to have her call in.
I have to ask questions.
Mixed reviews,
nobody,
I think, is probably the best way to put
it. Nobody has ever liked me for that long. I don't even think my parents.
And how old are your kids? Not 11 yet, right?
No, they're only 9, and I don't think they like me all that much either.
You can't get there with them either.
So I'm just curious, what's it like to have somebody like you for 11 years straight?
You know, if you're saying she's liked me for 365 days,
11
years straight,
times?
That might be a little bit of a stretch. But she's still here.
Okay, let me rephrase it.
Still
what's it like
here.
To have somebody tolerate you for 11 years? Because nobody's tolerate. Look, they got rid of me here after 4. Kind of self-doing, but neither here nor there.
I'm highly blessed and favored. So love you, Jackie. Happy 11 years. But SNL, I'm telling you right now,
we're
if you ever get an opportunity.
Too. God bless you. Guys.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, sir. It was a blast. It was a great spring day in New York City. We walked around. We did dinners. We had couple of cocktails, and then SNL was totally fun. George Kittle was there. Christian McCaffrey and Kyle Juszczyk were there. So it's cool, man. It's a place to see and be seen. But Shane Gillis was absolutely hilarious. I know we've played a bunch of his stuff on the show in years past as well. G-Money, what's going on, man? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. No, I mean, it's looking forward to a great weekend, turning 30 this weekend.
All right, so, dude. Congratulations.
Big 3-0 coming up this weekend, so I'm very much looking forward.
So 30-year birthday weekend parlayed with some St. Patrick's Day activities.
Yeah, St. Patrick's Day baby, man. That's
You're born March 17th.
On March 17th.
My man.
On March 17th. So
I absolutely love it.
All the partying and all the enjoyment's going to be taking place.
An Irish kid named Garrett, born on March 17th.
That's it, man.
I love it. I love it. 75 degrees today. Supposed to be nice tomorrow as well. Day-Day, what you got, like 19 kids tournaments to go to?
Yeah, it's kind of looking that way. Opening day parade. In fact, Zeno and I may run into each other.
Okay.
For the 8-year-old and his games later at 4. 12-year-old's got a soccer match at 12. 14-year-old's got 7-on-7. And then I'm going to be checking out some track and field action, too.
There you go. That's it. Bo?
Softball all weekend, man.
All right. I love it. I love it. It's going to be a great spring weekend in Atlanta. Let's kick off this Friday edition of the Steakhouse with a little 9 at 9. All right. The biggest news in sports yesterday had to do with a hometown team, Georgia Tech men's hoops. They lose to Duke 78-70 in the ACC conference tournament. But Mark Zeno, Duke standout Cooper Flagg, leaves the game with what looks like to be a bad ankle injury.
Yeah.
Head coach John Shire says he's, quote, unsure if Flagg will return for the ACC tournament. The Blue Devils also lost standout defenseman Malik Brown. This is your proposed number one overall seed for the tournament selection Sunday coming up in a few days.
Odds makers will tell you that they're not playing. They just played North Carolina 2 weeks ago at North Carolina as a 10-point favorite. Covered that number, and now they're only a 7.5-point favorite, so they're telling you Cooper Flagg is not playing.
And Duke plays North Carolina today, 7 p.m. on ESPN. So, of course, Flagg's going to be out. Malik Brown's going to be out. This will lead to a question that we'll definitely get to in the tailgate. The selection committee for March Madness, will they penalize Duke if they can figure out that Cooper Flagg will not be playing in the tournament?
We've seen it happen with the CFP committee. How they did Florida State dirty like that?
Will this cross over into basketball? We will find out.
I have a funny feeling it will.
I think it might as well. The Atlanta Hawks tonight at State Farm Arena taking on the L.A. Clippers, 7:30 p.m. tip. Next up after tonight, they will go up north to take on the Brooklyn Nets Sunday at 6 p.m. Quick thoughts on the Hawks so far, Zeno. Stuck in purgatory, play in purgatory.
Look, I guess if you can consider them getting out of the play-in tournament, you know, a step forward.
I think you'd have to consider that a step forward, right?
Oh my! I mean, yeah, I guess
that's just where we're at.
If that's where we're at, I guess then yeah. I mean, it's perpetual purgatory, but. I don't think they're a better team than the Pistons, and I don't know if they catch them.
The Atlanta Braves yesterday lose to the Philadelphia Phillies 16-9 in spring training. Anderson Pilar allowed 4 hits, 7 runs, struck out 2 in 1-inning pitch. Next up for the Braves, the Nationals today at 1:05 p.m.
Are you of the same mindset that a lot of Braves fans are, that everything's going to be okay?
I think so, and I think that Brian Snitker and Alex Anthopoulos and the performance of the Atlanta Braves over the last 3.5 to 4 years
would lead you to believe
give the
that.
Fan base the opportunity to say, you know what, they're going to get things figured out.
There's a lot. Look, I always talk about the ifs in every baseball season, right? How many ifs do you have? If Matt Olson plays back to the back of the baseball card, if Ronald Acuna is healthy, if Spencer Strider is healthy, if, you know, Ozzie Albies can hit the way, like all these
Austin
ifs,
Riley, yeah.
If the rest of the rotation comes
correct.
Around, if Smith Shawver is good, if, you know.
Spencer Strider comes back on time.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you have a lot of ifs, you have to rely on the fact that most of them won't hit.
Yeah. No,
and
look, I agree with you.
That's a problem.
I definitely agree with you, and I cannot remember a spring training, Zeno, with less juice for the Atlanta Braves.
Well, because there's a lot more ifs than anything else this year.
Atlanta United hosts Inter-Miami Sunday, 7 p.m. Brooks Lennon returning ahead of schedule. Messi in the house? What's
biggest
the situation?
Question is whether Messi plays or not. He did play last night. They're in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. Inter-Miami is. He came off the bench in that one about the 53rd minute or so. We'll see if he ends up suiting up. He will likely travel with the teams. And my guess, he's going to come off the bench in the second half at some point based off of game situation.
So expecting a big crowd down
there's
going to
be a big crowd. It's going to be a big crowd. Worth the ticket.
Awesome. Awesome. Players Championship going down in Ponte Vedra Beach at TPC Sawgrass. Rory McIlroy's already teed up this morning. He is two back of leader J.J. Spawn at the moment. Rory shot a 67 yesterday. So did Minwood Lee and Lucas Glover with a 66. But J.J. Spawn leading the way right now. He's two under through four holes in his second round at eight under for the tournament.
We have to tease. If you haven't seen what happened to Rory McIlroy in a fan...
Unbelievable.
I wasn't aware of this until you told me. We'll go over this later, but this was a story that
is this a new trend throughout sports or more so just golf? Rory McIlroy during one of his practice rounds this week down at Sawgrass, he got into it, or so you could say, with a fan. And you'll be shocked to hear who the fan was. We got a bunch of great stuff coming up on this edition of the Steakhouse. It's Friday. Buy or sell coming up in a little bit. Three strikes. As well, but when we get back from the break, I have not seen Mark Zeno in such a long time.
Lucky you.
And you know that I love talking NFL football, and you know that Mark has no shortage of opinions with our hometown Atlanta Falcons. I have to say, Zeno, I got to give you a lot of credit. 2 years ago, we were right here, I think right around the same time. I remember watching the first round of the Players' Championship with you in this studio.
Yep.
The NFL draft was about 4 weeks away at that time, and you stood up here, Falcons had the number 8 pick, and you said on these very airwaves, they are going to draft Bijan Robinson. I said, you're crazy. I said, there's absolutely no way. They need a defensive tackle. They need to take Jalen Carter. You said, nope, watch them. They're going to take Bijan Robinson, and guess what happened? I got to give you your flowers. The Atlanta Falcons selected Bijan Robinson, the third straight skill position player, in the top 10.
One of only like three hits that Terry Fontenot has had as GM.
You know what? I'll give Terry Fontenot credit for that Bijan pick. I've been hard on Terry Fontenot, but maybe it's for good reason. We're going to touch on that when we get back. It is the Steakhouse. Drew Butler, Mark Zeno on a Friday. You're listening to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Steakhouse, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Drew Butler, Mark Zeno, happy Friday to everyone. Surely you're in your car. You've got the dial on 92.9 FM. If you're at the office, be sure to pull up the Odyssey app. The Steakhouse is the number one streamed radio show, not only in the city of Atlanta, but across the Southeast. So shout out to our entire team here on that accomplishment. Rory McIlroy now in the lead at the Players' Championship. J.J. Spawn loses one, and Rory picks up a birdie, so they're both tied at 7-under down at TPC Sawgrass. And some breaking news in the NFL, Mark Zeno. The Athletic's Diana Russini is reporting that the New York Giants have offered more money than the Pittsburgh Steelers to Aaron Rodgers. So waiting to see where Aaron Rodgers ends up. I feel like it's a... zig and zag situation, because it's Rodgers and Russell Wilson, right?
I mean, when you say more money, are we talking about $10 million versus $8 million, or are we talking about $25 million versus $20 million?
You know, I have no idea. Is Aaron Rodgers worth the headache? Is the juice worth the squeeze?
Yes.
Would he fit into Mike Tomlin's locker room in Pittsburgh? I don't know. I don't know. I've been in that locker room. And I would be highly interested to see how Aaron Rodgers would be able to manage the personalities of a George Pickens, of a DK Metcalf, how he would be able to manage the expectations of a fan base like the Pittsburgh Steelers, because Rodgers with the New York Jets was an unmitigated disaster.
Oh, that's not true. His numbers were good. He played
Mark
well.
Zeno, come on, dude. Unmitigated disaster. No, of course, he gets injured. He doesn't play. Comes back this year. I don't care about his numbers.
Well, about his numbers. But
they didn't win anything. There's empty numbers. You love to talk about empty numbers.
That wasn't his fault.
You love to talk about empty numbers.
That was a defense that went from top five in the league to 20th. I mean, you know, look, the offense wasn't great, but he didn't play poorly.
So you're a Giants fan. Do you want Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, what's the alternative?
Russell Wilson?
It doesn't matter who the Giants get at quarterback. They're going to be drafting in the top five again next year.
Is Joe Schoen and Daboll going to get fired? Why'd they give them an extra year up there?
Because you can't – if you hit a reset button again, what are you on, your sixth coach in the last, like, 8 years?
I like Brian Daboll. I think he's a good coach.
I used to think so.
Yeah.
But again, you hitched your wagon to Daniel Jones for Brian Daboll, which is a bad idea. And I say this every time coaching cycles happen. All these guys lust after getting a head coaching job. I understand there are only 32 of them. It better be the right fit. It should be fit more than anything else.
That clip on the offseason Hard Knocks, when Joe Schoen is talking to owner John Mara and discussing the possibility of them letting Saquon Barkley go, and John Mara, as the owner, says, if he goes to Philly,
I won't be able to sleep.
I will have a hard time sleeping at
night. Joe Schoen knew exactly what he was getting into with the whole thing. The problem with
that is one of the most damning clips I've ever seen, and yet this guy is still the general manager. That's why I continue to preach on these airwaves, where is the accountability? You're talking about general managers who control everything. Across the league, but specifically here, because when I talk about Terry Fontenot, or at least just bring up the questions of where does the responsibility lie within the Falcons organization for what has happened over the past couple of years, not winning enough football games, not winning the division, not playing in the playoffs, I ask one question about Terry Fontenot, and I get absolutely berated on social media with people telling me that Terry Fontenot didn't get Kirk Cousins. Terry Fontenot didn't draft Bijan Robinson. It's always somebody else. It's always Arthur Blank, or it's Arthur Smith, or it's not Terry's fault. So that's my biggest question. Where does the responsibility lie, Mark Zeno?
Well, again, it's the one thing I've railed against this organization over and over again, and part of the reason. It's the one magic word that they use over and over for everything. Collaborate.
Yeah.
Collaboration is code for no one's in charge and no one's responsible. Right? There is a order. There is a chain of command. There is a pecking order.
Yeah, decision makers.
And collaboration just basically means the owner gets the final say, that they have the go, the green light on everything. And when it goes wrong, we don't know who to blame because we can't publicly blame the owner.
I forget who says the quote, but there's a quote that says you've never seen a statue built for a committee.
Right. 100%. And you know, look, at the end of the day, I'm with you that there is not a lot of accountability about where things have gone wrong. But also to your point, and this is not just here in Atlanta. It's across the board. Owners are now more than ever are intimately involved in on football decisions that they never have had to be in before. And at the end of the day, these guys, GMs, are getting paid a lot of money. And they are getting paid a lot of money to do a very tough job. However, none of them want to lose their job, so they don't push back. And no GM ever goes, if that's the direction you want to go, I'm out of here.
Right.
Because they don't want to lose their job.
Of course.
Right?
That's human nature, obviously.
No, it's not. No, it's called courage and a set of you-know-what and putting it on the table and going, guess what? You're going to go down that road. I categorically disagree with you. If it means my job, I'm out. Nobody wants
Has that ever happened in the history of the NFL? Of a GM just up and out because him and the owner disagreed during an offseason right before a draft?
Yes, Ernie Accorsi with the Colts and John Elway. 100%.
Okay.
That's a deep cut, but I
agree with you.
That's exactly what he did. It's exactly what he did. He gave up his job over trading.
But speaking about the responsibility and the accountability within the Falcons organization, I think we today, March the 14th, can all say that the Falcons have to win this year, or else there will be some decisions that are made. I would assume that Raheem Morris is probably safe after this year, regardless of what happens. Yeah. But the Falcons have got to perform this upcoming season, or there will definitely be changes made. And 2 years ago, as I said before the break, you called a month before the NFL draft, that the Falcons were going to be selecting Bijan Robinson. That came true. So my question to you, as we are six-ish weeks away from the 2025 NFL draft, is what are the Falcons going to do? What is a win for Terry Fontenot in this Falcons fan base, not only with the first-round pick? Do they trade back and get more? Do they select a Georgia player who might perhaps fall into that 15th draft pick? Are the all defense showings at the combine and 22 guys at Georgia Pro Day, are those gimmicky? What's a win for this organization over the next 6 weeks?
Somehow getting Kirk Cousins off the roster.
You got to trade him then. Obviously, they're not
going
to cut him.
It's not going to be able to consummate until June 1st. There's no reason to trade him before then. You're not going to get the cap relief you need. And you're not going to get the cap relief until June 1st. I understand all that.
What are your thoughts on Kirk requesting the meeting with Arthur Blank and them discussing potential trade partners, as it was reported?
It's smart on his part.
Of course.
Listen, Kirk Cousins doesn't want to be here. He wants to start.
Yeah.
Okay, like that's that.
Cleveland Browns with his former coach Kevin Stefanski. That seems like it could be a potential good fit.
I mean,
possibly the New York Giants, depending on what they do.
Possibly the Giants. Yeah. You know,
what would be a okay return for a Kirk Cousins trade? Understanding that nobody wants to take that contract.
You're not getting anything in return. What you're getting is not $60 million dead against the cap.
Right.
What you're getting is you're going to have $25 million dead against the cap next year regardless. So that's already happening.
Yes.
But, and I believe.
And Kirk receives $10 million.
On Sunday.
On Sunday.
The 16th.
Happy day.
Yeah, happy day for him. So the point is that, you know, the idea that you can sit there and tell me that, you know, to quote Terry Fontenot, that they're comfortable with him on the roster. I mean, you know.
Well, they have to be comfortable because they're already paying him.
That's
the point of saying that.
That's like saying I'm comfortable going for a colonoscopy. You know how bad it is. Just because, you know, you're not awake
for it. Eyes of the
beholder,
I guess, right?
I mean, it's there should be nothing comfortable about letting $40 million sit against your cap that's going to provide you zero production. There's nothing comfortable about that. That's a bold-faced lie.
Let's go back to your favorite word, collaborate. Do you think Kirk Cousins, if still on the roster on week one, will collaborate with Michael Penix Jr. to provide him with a second set of eyes, maybe some leadership?
Why should he?
So what are the Falcons going to do? Are the Falcons going to trade back? Are they going to draft Jalen Walker? What were your thoughts on the Leonard Floyd acquisition? I feel like there's a couple of different ways to go. I fully agree.
I mean,
they need to invest heavily on the defensive side of the ball.
If they don't take a pass rusher, this fan base might revolt.
I totally agree with that.
This fan base might revolt.
I totally agree with that.
Now, that said, and again, for an organization that is so concerned with optics, they're terrible at managing them. And the idea that they're going to go in any other different direction to me is kind of crazy, because when you look at, you know, all things considered, with the questions on the offensive line aside, the rest of the skill positions on the offensive side of the ball are pretty intact. And oh, by the way, another thing too, like, why is Kyle Pitts still here? Like, it's another, like, you know, strike against
the GM. Because they can't find a dance partner, I'm guessing?
There's somebody who wants a fourth-round pick for the guy.
You think so? Wouldn't they have already done that by now for a fourth-round pick when you don't even have a third?
I say this repeatedly. The issue is that they are so bad at admitting they made a mistake. It's okay to admit that Kyle Pitts is a bad draft pick and move on from
it. We all make mistakes.
But the constant doubling down on mistakes just so you don't have to have egg on your face is a bad organizational philosophy.
Driving in this morning, I heard Mike Johnson on the morning shift say something. It was a question that he was asked earlier this week, and it really made me think, and I'm going to ask you the same question. Mike Johnson said somebody came up to him this past week and asked him, are the Falcons better March 14th, 2025 than they were March 14th, 2024?
First of all, Mike Johnson, very approachable for a man his size. I would just like to say that. Okay?
I want to see you and him
He's a big cuddly bear.
I like it.
He's a big cuddly bear. I think you have to lean no, they're not. This is going to drive people crazy when I say this. They were better a year ago at this point in time because their quarterback situation was better.
They had Kirk Cousins in the fold.
They had Kirk Cousins right there.
They had not yet
to go.
Drafted Michael Penix Jr. to already cause some friction in that quarterback room.
And you had a high-level quarterback ready to go into a season with a lot of offensive weapons. I think it was I had a lot more optimism at this time last year than I do now. I've also got a year of data points of how decisions are made, things that have gone on, the way things were managed, whether it was the alleged injury to Kirk, whether it was the actual injury to Younghoe Koo, whether it was managing the roster and decision, like, you know, there's not a lot more data points that give me a ton of faith that they are better right now than they were a year ago at this point in time.
All right, so you heard it here first. Mark Zeno says the Falcons were better a year ago today because their quarterback situation put them in a better spot. I love it. That's why I come to you for NFL and Atlanta Falcons.
You don't come to me for anything.
Advice. Yes, I do. After the break, we're going to the tailgate. How about this college hoop slate today? 8 top 25 matchups. And I ask Mark Zeno, if Cooper Flagg is out, should the selection committee for March Madness penalize the Duke Blue Devils and knock them back a few seeds? We'll get to that right after the break. This is the Steakhouse on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is the Steakhouse here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Mark Zeno, and the incomparable Drew Butler. Come hang out with 92.9 The Game, Andy Bunker, and Michelob Ultra for an Atlanta Hawks watch party as they take on the Nets on Sunday, March 16th at 5:30 p.m. at Wicked Wolf in Midtown. The first 100 fans get a free Michelob Ultra. Enjoy a live DJ, hang with the Hawks dancers and flight crew, enter to win a gift card to the Hawks shop or other prizes sponsored by Michelob Ultra. You must be 21 or older. Please drink responsibly. The Hawks flight crew, those are the stunters, the cheerleaders, right?
Could you do that? You throwing your name in the hat?
Yeah, I mean, I probably still could. I got a bunch of injuries, and I'm old as hell, but I could probably still toss some
tricks around. Of course you could. Of course you could. 9:40.
It's like riding a bicycle.
9:40 on a beautiful Friday morning in Atlanta. I got some breaking news for you. I'm all about the breaking news this morning.
All right, send it.
Hannah Cavender, Carson Beck's ex-girlfriend, has made a statement.
Oh, they officially broke up?
I believe
so. Let me get this straight. Toolbox left Georgia.
Yes.
To run to Miami to go be with a girl who dumped them 3 weeks after getting there?
It's
good
undefeated.
Call, fella.
It's undefeated. Simple as that. But she just posted something and said, sister knows best, essentially making the statement that her twin sister kind of was maybe a little bit questionable on what was going on in their relationship. And as it broke yesterday on social media, Carson Beck up to his Snapchat shenanigans.
Now, yeah, this had to do with Snapchat,
yeah,
right? So did she bust him doing some stuff?
I think she busted him. She scraped him off all his social media or all her social media, excuse me. And Carson Beck was seen at the Players' Championship yesterday in Jacksonville, where he's from. But,
what?
You know, the NIL star couple is no more, Bo. No more.
Why am I not shocked?
Stay off social media if you're going to go messing around, or just don't mess around.
So correct.
Are you telling me that that's what he did? He was fooling around behind her back. Is that what the deal is?
Well, you know, the best part about these rumors is how the social media investigators kind of take over, and they form the story as to how they want. So there were people who were taking screenshots of, like, the Cavender twins' stories, time stamping them, and then comparing them with the Snapchats that Carson Beck was reportedly sending. So what they were saying was, while Carson Beck is with his girlfriend in their apartment, he was Snapchatting other women, and he got busted.
Come on.
Now, this is allegedly.
There was also a weekend getaway that they were supposedly on, and while he was on the getaway with the girl, with the Cavender twin, he was Snapchatting.
We are going to look back on Carson Beck as one of the more dynamic falls of a collegiate athlete who was on a trajectory.
Let me say one thing about Carson Beck. And this may be too harsh, but I honestly think it's true. And if you're a Georgia fan, please hit us up on social media, at Mark Zeno, at Drew Butler. I think Carson Beck will go down as the most hated Georgia quarterback.
I
think he will because of, one, he had a really tough job to follow up Stetson. That's a given. Stetson, I think, is top three greatest Georgia Bulldog of all time. But two, how he handled the media. And three, maybe just his overall aura. I just don't think it's a guy who thinks
he's better than he is
with the Georgia Bulldog faithful. So that is my strong stance.
I'm with you.
You know, look, he's down in Miami now. I don't think he'll have a hard time rebounding from Hannah Cavender. But look, my Hannah Cavender story, Haley Cavender story, is when I was with Icon Source, we did the first ever NIL deal with them in Times Square. So I've gotten to know them. They're great girls. They're still in college. That was 5 years ago, so I'm trying to do the math in my head.
Why are they still in college?
Because they're making a boatload of money.
Are they still part of the WWE NIL
I think
thing?
They backed out of that, maybe, okay. But I digress.
You think Carson Beck stays in Miami?
He's better. Yeah, he's got nowhere else to go.
He's got nowhere else to go.
Let's go ahead and hit the tailgate. All right, we touched on it in the show open, but Georgia Tech men's hoops loses to Duke yesterday in the ACC Conference Tournament, 78-70. Across town in Athens, the Dogs obviously lost their opening round game to Oklahoma, Mark. That was not a good look. So Georgia Bulldogs men's hoops will have to wait around until Selection Sunday to see if they make the tournament. Right now, bracketologists have them in that 9-10 seed range, but you might have different feelings.
Oh, well, I mean, look, the SEC is way overrated, and everybody's
overrated.
Way overrated, way overseeded.
Even Jay Billis just came out and said winning the SEC conference tournament will be harder than winning March Madness. You can't tell me.
Sure, I can.
That with Georgia, even if they make it, and we're just taking Georgia because we're in Atlanta right now. If Georgia makes the tournament as a 9 or a 10 seed, depending on where they land in the regions, they're battle-tested. They've got 4 quad one wins.
Yeah, they've also got about 7 quad one losses.
Okay.
I mean, that's
not you're exactly proving my point.
No,
though,
this is my point.
Because their competition in the first two rounds won't potentially be quad one teams.
This is my point. My point is this, is that because the SEC this year had so many ranked teams and so many teams that were, you know, kind of overranked at the, to start the early part of the year, like Texas, who is not a good basketball team and not a tournament team.
Who beat Texas A&M last night in double overtime.
Yeah, again, that's a flaw of Texas A&M.
Who may have just played
Texas
their way into March Madness.
God-awful offense. God-awful
Top 15 team. The Aggies are the 14th ranked
team. I don't look at rankings. I look at them. That's not the assistant to the coach who fills that thing out each week.
Yeah,
that guy doesn't get my vote, okay? You're not sitting here telling me that John
so
Shire
is
sitting there each
conference
week
going, bias?
I'm going to write this down.
Is there conference bias now for SEC basketball? They might get 12 to 16 teams.
They do not deserve. Look, you want me to tell you who's not a tournament team? I can tell you right now. And it's going to be bothered. Oklahoma, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Georgia, Mississippi State, they're not tournament teams.
They should not
be tournament teams.
Who would be better than them? UNC Tar Heels, who have beaten nobody?
No, again.
Georgia has more quad one wins than Duke.
Because, again, they play.
Oh, Mark, you're losing the argument.
I'm not losing the argument
at all.
Yes,
you are.
No, Duke only has 2 quad one opponents this year. That's it, Clemson and Louisville. They don't have the opportunity to play quad one opponents.
But you're saying that the ACC, for some reason, is just being discredited because the powers that be are showing all this bias towards the SEC.
You can't,
and unreasonably
you can't
ranking SEC teams in the top 25.
You're going to see this.
I don't know,
tournament.
Dude. I watch Alabama. I watch Auburn. I watch Tennessee.
Okay. No
I watch
no
Kentucky. Teams are for real.
No one's questioning the top of the SEC.
I watch Florida. And then I watch Georgia, who sucks, per your words, beat Florida.
No, don't do that. I did not say they suck.
Lose to Auburn by 1 point.
You're not going to do that. I did not say they suck.
You said they're not a tournament team.
I said they're not a tournament. That doesn't mean they suck.
Well, if they're not in the top 68, you know, I would go on the other side.
No, what you're asking for is them to be in the top 30 of non-automatic qualifiers.
Gotcha.
Okay? So that's a different
conversation. I would say that based on their performances against quad one opponents, St. John's is one of the best stories in college basketball this year.
Yeah.
And Georgia went down to the Bahamas pre-Christmas, pre-New Year's, and took care of business.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They needed that Kentucky win. They got it. They absolutely needed that Florida win to have any chance of making the tournament, and they got it.
You're going to watch.
I understand. I mean, am I sitting here saying they're going to make the Final Four? No.
No one's having that conversation.
But I think 9-10 seed, I think they could be a little
spunky. Do you really
spunky.
Think that the 13 teams from the SEC should be in?
Yes, I do.
I don't.
Based on watching SEC basketball twice a week for the last month and a half, I do believe that the SEC should have plenty of representatives.
A team like San Francisco or Santa Clara is going to get left out, and they are one of the best 35 teams that's not going
to
win their conference.
A San Francisco or a Santa Clara to where if they make 55% of their three-pointers in the first two rounds, they'll make the Sweet 16.
But
so would Georgia.
But no. That's
you know exactly how it works. If you get hot behind the arc and you got good guard play and you play defense, you got a chance.
The resume that they've built the entire year.
Understood.
Now, and here is where the thing gets skewed. Because the SEC has been so deep, when you keep talking about the quad one, yes, you're going to have cannibalization within every conference. It's going to happen, right? Like,
yeah.
Bad conference teams are going to be good conference teams across the board. So I'm not disrespecting anything of Georgia's 4 quad one wins.
Okay.
When you're playing a quad one opponent every single night, you need to
be better than 500
in your conference to actually demonstrate that you are good enough to be one of the best 30 teams that's not an AQ bid.
Selection Sunday coming up, we'll know exactly what the field looks like. The biggest question now is not who will make it and who will be left out, but what will the selection committee do with Duke? If Cooper Flagg is out for the tournament, which I would assume the Blue Devils keep it very close to the chest, Zeno, will the committee penalize the Blue Devils just like what we have seen happen with the College Football Playoff Committee, notably when Florida State went undefeated, conference champs in the ACC, they lose their starting quarterback, Jordan Travis, and they didn't even make the playoff. What will the committee do with Duke if Cooper Flagg is out?
Two things at play here. Number one, okay, Duke could have lost their opening round game to Georgia Tech. They were still going to be a one seed.
So you think without question they will not move off of one seed?
Well, hold on. Let me get there. I was just telling everybody, you know, they could have lost.
Right.
Cooper Flagg could stay healthy. They could have lost to Georgia Tech. They were still getting a one seed.
That's right.
There's not a team from 5, 6, 7, 8 that has a better resume than them over the course of this year.
And that's just based on sheer dominance.
Yes.
Cooper Flagg being one of the best players in the country.
So
we're not worried about who they're playing.
Right. And so them losing this next game is not changing whether they would be a one seed or not. Okay, is the point that I'm trying to make. Now, the College Football Playoff Committee, and these are two different things, right? One, because of the sheer numbers, I'm only taking, at that time, we were only taking 4, right? And even now that we take 12 compared to, again.
Yes.
What is it? Now it's 37 after the 61, the 31, you know, automatic qualifying bids. So it's a different scale. Penalizing Duke would be moving them off of a one line to make them a 2 seed.
Yep.
There's reason to believe that Duke is not one of the top 4 teams in the country without Cooper Flagg.
I would 100% agree with that. Absolutely.
That is a fair statement.
Take Cooper Flagg away from Duke. Now you have the ability to bring into question the competition that they've played all year.
Right.
Because I agree with you. I don't care who they're playing. They're dominating
every
game.
They might still have beaten all those teams. They just wouldn't have won by 35 and 40 like they did. I mean, they lapped the field considerably.
Well, look, I hope he's healthy. I mean, Malik Brown, their top defender, he also is injured as well.
Here would be the committee's logic. Even without Cooper Flagg, in theory, they should be in the Sweet 16. That gives him 2 full weeks to recover. Right? That means he doesn't play a game till the last weekend of March.
Right.
I mean, you know, should they be penalized? No, they shouldn't be penalized for the injury, just like Florida State shouldn't have been penalized for the injury.
Okay, so say the committee does make him a 2 seed. Is that validated?
It wouldn't surprise me.
Is that validated? Obviously, the committee gets raked over the coals on the football side when they make those decisions.
Here's the only way I think that you could validate it. Like, what you would need is you would need a team like Tennessee or Florida to win over Auburn to win the SEC.
Gotcha.
Right?
Yes.
Houston obviously has to win the Big 12. And then is there a world where Michigan State wins the Big 10 and St. John's wins the Big East, where you could look at those teams as conference champions and go, they're above Duke right now?
What would be your comparison to, if it does come out that Flagg is out, he can't play, he's not going to play in the tournament at all, what would be your comparison across any sport to where when it became crunch time, playoff time, their star was knocked out? I mean, look, Carson Beck went down at halftime of the SEC championship game. You can say whatever you want about him, but Georgia not having their starting quarterback in the first ever college football playoff, true playoff, that certainly hurt. When I was with the Arizona Cardinals, Tyrann Mathieu, he tore his ACL in week 17. He was going to be the defensive player of the year. That hurt pretty bad.
You know what? Derek Carr getting injured in week 16 or 17. It wasn't 18 games then. It was 17. It was week 16 where I think he got his leg broken. The Raiders were 11-4 at the time. And I think he got.
Is that Gruden? John Gruden?
That was on. Yeah.
Wow.
He got injured in the second to last game. And it wasn't Aiden O'Connell. It was. What scrub backed him up?
Not Gardner Minshew, because they just got him. But hey, there's a great slate of college basketball today. It's an age old question. What's better, opening weekend of March Madness or conference championship week? That could be a buy or sell question coming up in a bit. But 8 top 25 matchups. Marquette's taking on St. John's, 6:30 p.m. on Fox. Number 21, Mizzou versus number 4, Florida, 7 p.m. on SEC Network. Oregon and Michigan State on the Big Ten Network at noon. And a great one, 9:30 p.m., SEC Network. Number 15, Kentucky taking on 5th-ranked Alabama. Number 1, Duke without Cooper Flagg and Malik Brown. They take on the UNC Tar Heels tonight, 7 p.m. ESPN. So tons of great basketball. Pre-show, Mark, I think you told me you're in timeout. You're in timeout today, or are you getting back after it?
Last night was...
Jump on in, man.
What happened at Texas Tech last night was not to be believed. That was a meltdown of epic proportions. I'm laying 5.5. I beat the closing number by a full point.
Yep.
Went off at 6.5.
Yep.
They're up by 13 at halftime. Not only are they up by 13 at halftime, but they shot 19% in the second half.
Oh, Mark. I'm so sorry.
31.
You should have picked the other side, man.
Yeah, thanks.
Should have picked the other
side. Right handicap, wrong result. But that's neither here nor there.
Right handicap, wrong result. Story of Mark Zeno's life. Hey, coming up at 10 o'clock, you will not believe what Rory McIlroy did to a fan Tuesday of the Players' Championship, and even more so, you will not believe who that fan was. Also, there is some drama in Dallas with the Cowboys. What is new? It's a beautiful Friday right here on the Steakhouse. Drew Butler, Mark Zeno. We'll be back right after the break. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
You're too young for this song.
You underestimate me, Mark Zeno. 10:03.
I just said you were too young for
10:03 on a beautiful Friday morning here in Atlanta, Georgia. This is the Steakhouse Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Drew Butler, joined alongside Mark Zeno. I've been bringing you breaking news every time I come back for a segment, but I just got the surprise that will make my Friday. Coming up next, a close friend of mine, a great golfer, a very handsome fella and the best soccer commentator in the country. Joining us now, Taylor Twellman, lead commentator for the MLS on Apple TV. And, of course, former U.S. national team member, joins us now to talk some Atlanta United and MLS. Taylor, how are you, my friend? Happy Friday.
Good, dude. What's going on? Do I have to Venmo you for that intro or no?
Yes, you do. I will invoice you right after we hang up, but it is awesome talking to you. Missed you out in Arizona earlier this week, but the Atlanta United hosting Inter Miami Sunday at 7 p.m. right here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Of course, we are the flagship of the Atlanta United, and all supporters are wondering, will Lionel Messi be playing?
He played last night. He played last night, surprisingly, in Jamaica. Terrible field conditions. The tie was over at 4-0. And yet he played, 25 minutes. So I'd be shocked if he doesn't play Sunday night in Atlanta, just because with the World Cup qualifying break coming up for Argentina, they're playing against Brazil. I'll be shocked if he's not at least on the bench prepared to play 30 minutes or so.
Taylor, the pride of the University of Maryland Terrapins. I want to get your thoughts on the Terps as they head into the tournament before we get out of here. But let's look at the other side of the ledger here for Atlanta United. Latte Lath, questionable as well. If Messi goes and Latte doesn't, I mean, how much of an advantage is that for Miami?
Miami's more than Lionel Messi. So the reality is the last 16 games Messi hasn't played, they won 13 or 14 of them. So they're as good of a team as you'll see in this league. They've done a great job of being diverse in their attack. They've done a great job of just being young while also having the four Barcelona boys fill in the gaps. And so, listen, Latte Lott is, you can make an argument if he misses Sunday. I'll be shocked if he does, but you still got a couple days left, and with him coming out of concussion protocol, anything can happen. But I will be shocked if he's not available. But if he's not, that's a huge loss because they don't really have anyone else that can put the ball in the back of the net consistently. They got other guys, but the other guys are more complimentary versus their talisman.
A little bit of a rivalry brewing between Inter Miami and Atlanta United as well. United are 5-1-1 in their last seven matches against Inter Miami and notably knocked them out of the MLS Cup playoffs a year ago. Would you expect that trend to continue? Because obviously at that point, Inter Miami is going in there with a little bit of subconscious thinking about how can we go in and take care of business.
Yeah, I think last year's surprise result, you know, it's the biggest upset in MLS playoff history, the way Atlanta United beat Miami based on where they finished in the season, based on the names on the roster and whatnot. So listen, Miami's got, I hate to say it this way, but it's a simple way of saying they've got bigger fish to fry. They want to win MLS Cup. They want to win trophies. Are they disappointed? Do they have a point to prove? Absolutely. But I don't think at the forefront of Miami's mind is, oh my goodness, we lost to Atlanta. No, oh my goodness, we dropped an egg and we lost MLS Cup and we didn't even get out of the first round. So I think there's bigger question marks for Atlanta. For three halves this year, they've looked like arguably the best team in the East. And for three second halves this year, they've looked like a team that might miss the playoffs. There's a real disjointedness to this team. They're unorganized at times. So I'm intrigued to see Atlanta. I thought they did a real good job in the offseason of really going out, spending money on the right players there, but yet the camaraderie's not there. This is an interesting game for me. I'm intrigued to see what Atlanta United looks like against a better opponent.
Does that fall on Atlanta United manager?
Yeah, I mean, naturally it does, but I think it's way too soon to get anywhere down the line. Ronnie Dyla's won an MLS Cup in New York City. He's only been there for three games. I think that question's got to be asked June and July. If it's still a trend, then obviously you got to ask questions of the manager and how he can right the ship. I think it's way too early to question whether or not he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, and last season it was almost the opposite. They'd get off to such slow starts and have to fight their way back late in to games. Three goals through three matches so far this season, but Taylor, those three goals all came in the first game. Before we move on to some basketball talk, I got to ask you, what's the outlook for the rest of the season for Atlanta United?
I think Atlanta United should have aspirations at the minimum of having a home playoff game. Yeah. I think they've got to finish in the top four or five of the playoffs. And if not, then you can make an argument then they fell below expectations. Now, that doesn't mean they can't make a run in the playoffs, but you've got to make Mercedes-Benz home field advantage again. You've got to own it in the way they've spent money. I look at Atlanta, Cincinnati, Inter Miami. I look at those three being the trendsetters, Columbus being in that mix as well of the Eastern Conference and maybe even Major League Soccer as a whole.
All right, Taylor. It's a good time to be a Maryland Terrapin. This basketball team looks as good as it has since the national championship team of 2002, which is actually after your time, which is crazy to think because you don't look that old.
No, it isn't. That would have been my senior year. But
there we go.
Was it really?
There we go.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, then
Ron Dixon was in my class.
I remember being on the court at Coalfield House back in the day. What an environment that was.
It was the best.
Before they went to the Comcast, now Xfinity Center, Coalfield House used to be one rocket place. Not only that, though, the Terps have the number one lacrosse team in the country, too.
Look at this.
In men's lacrosse. So it's a good time to be a Terrapin. But your thoughts here and the likelihood Maryland makes a deep run.
I find it interesting. I don't know about you guys. Like, these conference tournaments, when I hear people say, like, well, the result of the conference tournament really has no bearing on the seeding. Well, then why play them?
Yeah, agree.
Right? So, I'm a little confused by that narrative that's been going around. Listen, they're a second seed, if I'm not mistaken, first time since 2014 that the Terps have been that high. But the Illini can bore you to death. They can make a game ugly. So for Maryland, I think it's you got to set the tone that you want to play the game at your tempo. You want to put pressure on them to have to score points and for them not to slow the game down, all of that. So listen, they won seven of the last eight games, if I got my numbers right, the Terps. I think you get to the Big Ten final at least. Then you're talking about real confidence, and who knows, maybe they do go on a run like Juan Dixon and company did in 02. That's a long time ago, boys, long time ago. And for your listeners, you are talking to a graduate of University of Maryland, as I just graduated college in January.
Congratulations,
all right,
Taylor Twelman. Congratulations. All right, last question before we let you go. To let everybody understand how well-rounded of an athlete you are, your last round of golf, what'd you shoot?
dude, I'm not telling you that.
Come on.
Just say it. Big deal. Come on.
It's 74. It's even par. It's right around there.
The last two rounds I just played were at Tree Farm in South Carolina,
one of the best places I've
ever been to.
Were you with Luther?
68-68.
Woo! Told you.
Hey, I got a member guest coming up this summer if you feel like playing around here in Atlanta.
That is awesome, Taylor.
Yeah, my price is kind of high, though, Mark. You know what I mean? So,
listen, if what I pay you I can make bets on to win the thing, then it's going to be covered.
Absolutely.
There you go.
So,
Taylor Twelman, thanks so much for joining us, my man. Have an awesome weekend, and we'll touch base with you soon.
See you, boys.
There you go. Taylor Twellman, Apple TV MLS lead commentator. A great guy. A hell of a golfer. 68-68 at Tree Farm out in South Carolina. That is highly impressive. Speaking of golf,
have you ever
though,
broken 80?
Yes. Me? Ever broken 80?
I don't know. I don't never. Yeah. How do I know? When do I play golf with you?
Well, you should just take a look at me and then ask the question again.
Okay. I mean, you look like you dress like a golfer, but so does everybody else who went to the University of Georgia.
No, that's I'm very fortunate. Very fortunate to have grown up playing golf. So can love
we,
going out there to compete.
Can we confirm that handicap?
Yeah.
What do you got?
Plus 0.7 right now.
Okay. So do you want to play in the member guest with me?
Yeah. Well, like Taylor Twellman said, I'm expensive too. So
I hope Hudson Mason isn't listening because he was supposed to play with me. Now I'm slowly upgrading to better, bigger, and better players.
All right, before we get to the break, I do need to touch on what happened Tuesday at the Players' Championship. If you have not seen, Tuesday was a practice round at the Players' Championship down at TPC Sawgrass. Rory McIlroy, Mark, was teeing off on the 18th hole. Yep. He hit a ball into the water, and a fan behind him reportedly chirped him and said, just like at 2011 at the Masters. Famously, Rory McIlroy shot a 40-plus on the back nine of the Masters when having a multiple-shot lead. Entering into the second nine, he collapsed. Rory McIlroy hits his second tee shot. Mark Zeno, he turns around, goes up to the fan, says, can I see your phone? The fan kind of stunningly doesn't know what's going on. He hands Rory McIlroy the phone. Rory then walks away, hands the phone to a security guard, orders the security guard to throw out this fan. But guess what? The fan was a University of Texas golfer named Luke Potter. The University of Texas golf team was in town playing a collegiate tournament across the street from TPC Sawgrass, in which they won. This guy was the low medalist of the tournament. So this college golfer won a college golf tournament across the street, was at the practice round of the Players, chirped Rory McIlroy, and McIlroy had him tossed and confiscated his phone. It's becoming a huge story. Texas's golf coaches had to make statements about it. Luke Potter talked to the Golf Channel yesterday and apologized, and a reporter asked Rory McIlroy about it yesterday and said, can I ask you, Rory, about the incident? And Rory McIlroy said, no, you cannot.
Yeah, I mean, look, here's the thing that I struggle with. And I just like think of, like, if I was watching a batting practice session, right, of a baseball player.
There's no way you could convince me that you don't chirp Yankees batters at spring training.
No, I chirped Aaron Boone, not the batters. Not the batters. I yelled at him for bringing in Nestor Cortez. But my point is, like, if I'm, like, you know, a kid who wanted to be an aspiring baseball player.
Yeah.
If I had the opportunity to sit there during, you know, batting practice, if a guy swings and misses, I'm not the guy going, yeah, it was kind of like it was in the playoffs last year. Like,
I know, it's crazy.
You just shut your mouth and go up there and take swings. Like, for especially a guy who's aspiring to be
exactly
a golfer.
Exactly. A top college golfer.
A top college golfer. You're trying to get into the line of work this guy's already in. And you think the way to endear yourself to him is to insult him publicly?
Unbelievable. Crazy that it's all blowing up just like that. And surely there will be more about it as reporters are starting to ask both of them what exactly happened. After the break, it's a Friday. That means buy or sell. I got a great list of questions. Going to get you fired up for the weekend. We're having a blast here. It's the Steakhouse Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Steakhouse here, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Mark Zeno and Drew Butler in for the crew. Well, Drew Butler is part of the crew. Mark Zeno's in for steak. We'll call it that. But this is part of the Drew Butler Show. Anyway, football coverage on Sports Radio 929 The Game brought to you by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on the iPhone 16 Pro. Do you need a 16 Pro?
I still have like a 13.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I got a 15.
I guess I need to upgrade. Let me hear that read. 16 Pro. Okay.
Yeah, great deal. T-Mobile.com.
There you go. There you go. Rory McIlroy has a birdie putt on the 16th hole to take the lead, to go to 9 under par at the Players' Championship down.
No one chirped at him for it.
At TPC Sawgrass. Nobody will be chirping him, or else you'll be kicked out and your phone will be confiscated. How about what's going on with the Dallas Cowboys?
Okay.
News breaks that DeMarcus Lawrence, who's an all-pro pass rusher, is not re-signing with the Cowboys. He's on his way to become a Seattle Seahawk. And then during an introductory interview with, I believe, a Seahawks podcaster at Hawk Blogger, he says, hey, look, man, Dallas is my home. I love my time at Dallas, but I knew that I would never win a Super Bowl with the Cowboys. Wow, okay. Tell me how you really feel.
I mean, don't ask a question you don't want to answer to.
Yeah, I guess that is true. And guess who heard it? Micah Parsons, all-pro linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys. And he takes to social media to immediately chirp back at his former teammate, DeMarcus Lawrence, and said something along the lines of,
"This is what rejection and envy look like. This some clown stuff. You can figure out the rest of it."
So then DeMarcus Lawrence, of course, he has to respond. And what does he say, Mark?
"Calling me a clown won't change the fact that I told the truth. Maybe if you spent less time tweeting and more time winning, I wouldn't have left." Man.
So you got some middle school girl drama going on with two of the best defensive players in the National Football League. The Cowboys just can't get out of their own way.
I kind of appreciate Micah Parsons' devotion to
podcasting and tweeting.
Sacking
a quarterback.
I meant to just sort of his devotion to Dallas, which feels like a veritable graveyard right now for winning anything. And, you know, this guy is standing tall here, defending Dallas, defending the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And America's team, which is a very indefensible position at this point.
Dude, Brian Schottenheimer is their head coach. Maybe one of the most head-scratching decisions.
What did I tell you? We are at a stage in America where we love hiring unqualified people for very high-level positions.
Well, that is certainly what that decision was. There's no question about it. I got some decisions.
I should be SecDef.
I got some decisions that you have to make right now, Mark Zinner. Let's do a little Friday edition of Buy or Sell. G Money, I'm going to need your help here too, man. Okay, first up, Mark Zeno, buy or sell. You will watch 5 innings of spring training baseball before opening day.
Buy. Already did it.
Okay. Garrett, sell. I'm in the same boat. No chance. I mean, there's golf on. We're not watching 5 innings of spring training baseball.
Basketball.
And look, Bo's upset at me. Bo's mad at me.
Well, I watched 5 innings yesterday.
Really?
Like, it's always on.
Always on.
There's nothing on. Like, I could find a spring training game on just to check out
baseball. I'm on the golf channel.
100% on the
same page. I promise you. All right, buy or sell. Conference championship week is better than March Madness opening weekend, Mark Zeno.
Why are you poking the bear right now with this, okay? You know I had a bad night last night.
I got it. The next one's really going to poke the bear, so just go ahead and answer. Buy or sell.
Conference championship week better than the entire tournament?
Nope. Opening weekend. March Madness opening weekend. Thursday through Saturday. Sunday, excuse me.
Sell.
Wow.
Massive, massive sell. The opening weekend of March Madness is the best 4-day period of the sports calendar year.
I would agree with you on that because it's like a known thing. Nobody's working Thursday.
Nobody's
Friday.
Doing anything Thursday, Friday.
It's like a national holiday. You take it all the way through Sunday.
It is one
night.
Of the better day drinking days of the year.
No question
it's
about
the best
it.
Thursday of the year.
If you've got the liver for it, you start at about 11:30 in the morning.
Buy or sell, Mexican food is better than Italian food. Buy or sell, Mark Zitto.
Yeah, really? Yo, I mean,
Mexican food is better than Italian food. Buy or sell, Mark Zeno.
Okay, just cut his mic off. All right? This is stupid. Like, this was meant to be insulting. I'm insulted. I'm bothered.
Hey, you can't get chips and queso at an Italian restaurant.
Can I tell you something? First of all, but now you're really pissing me off.
Garrett, buy or sell. Mexican food is better than Italian food.
The chips and queso, while they are delicious, and I'm not a queso guy, I like the salsa better. The problem is that I eat too many damn chips and queso by the time the food gets here.
Of course you do.
I can't enjoy the plate. Second of all, Italians have bread, and that stuff is good.
So buy or sell?
I'm selling. Mexican food is not better than Italian.
Buy or sell? Mexican food is better than Italian.
I'm going to sell because the versatility of Italian food. You go pasta, you pizza, anything.
There you go. Buy or sell? You have watched Saturday Night Live this season.
Buy.
Yeah, it's been good. That 50th special was really cool.
No, the joke swap this year. Crying.
Oh, unbelievable! Unbelievable!
I was crying laughing. That was some stuff I did not expect to see. I was going to say, they've gotten back to their edge.
Oh, yeah.
Before they went
that
all PC and everything
else, that Shane Gillis episode was way
edgy. They got
edgy.
Back to their edge.
That's a fact.
There was a little bit of lame SNL for the last couple of years, but this year, I've really seen myself buy back in. So, buy. Awesome. I've actually watched the last couple of them.
There you go.
Believe it or not. They're sucking me back in.
All right, St. Patrick's Day coming up Monday. It's also Garrett's 30th birthday.
Sell.
Buy or sell, you will travel to Ireland within the next 5 years.
Okay. I thought you were going
to
ask me.
You will travel to Ireland in the next 5 years.
That's why you
got
to wait for the question, Mark.
I would love to be able to do that just for a round of golf.
It's phenomenal.
You've golfed in Ireland?
I've not golfed there, but I've been there on St. Patrick's Day. a very, very cool
spot. I thought you were
going
to ask me whether you thought like the holiday. I think it's a very overrated day.
Buy or sell.
It's a great day. It's a great day.
You will travel to Ireland in the next 5 years.
I
got to
sell.
Okay.
I'm going to sell. I went in 2019. Beautiful place. I would recommend it to anybody. Dublin. Dublin's one of my favorite places.
Like, where would it be? Like, top five destinations. Does it crack your top five?
It's probably on that 5 to 10 range. For sure.
Yeah, that's a good number.
It's really, really cool.
Seating wise, it's not a number one overall seat.
The people are great. The drinking is better.
Sticking on the topic of St. Patrick's Day, a pint of Guinness is the perfect beer. A pint of Guinness is the perfect beer, buy or sell.
When it is had in Ireland, I will buy it. Yeah. Quick little anecdotal story. When I was coming back from my first tour in Iraq, our stop was in Shannon, Ireland.
Oh, awesome.
And I remember because we had about a 3-hour layover while they refueled.
Yep.
And they tell us, you know, hey, you guys can get off the plane. No one's allowed to drink. We all went, you ain't turning the plane if we're going back to Iraq.
Full send.
Went to the bar at the airport at 9 a.m. They poured me a fresh pint of Guinness right there.
It's pretty perfect.
Guinness in Ireland tastes different.
Way better. That's 100%
than it does
fact.
In America.
That is a 100%
That is a perfect
fact.
Pint of yes. beer. Yes, yes. I'll buy that.
I will buy with the caveat that it is poured properly.
Right.
A poorly poured Guinness is one of the worst beverages you can have at the bar. But if it is properly poured, it's
Real
delicious.
Quick,
I'm a big Guinness fan. I'm a big
at,
Guinness fan.
Buy or sell the
black
Guinness
and tan.
In the can.
We got to go. Come on. March.
The cans are good.
Buy
the
or sell. March is a top 6 month of the year. Buy or sell. March is a top 6 month of the year. Buy or sell.
Absolutely
quickly.
Sell.
No, I buy that. My anniversary is in March. My daughter's birthday is in March. Okay. March Madness is in March.
Weather's great.
There you go.
Weather's great. I'm sorry. I missed that part.
Look outside. Look outside right now. We got like 15 windows.
I grew up in the Northeast.
All right, thank you. Next up, The Other Guys is one of the most underrated movies of all time. The Other Guys,
Bye.
Mark Wahlberg,
Bye.
Will Ferrell,
yeah. Bye.
Michael Keaton with a great cameo
in that
movie.
With, what's her face, Eva Mendes. Eva Mendes. Yeah. He's like, come on, you're screwing with me here.
Absolutely unbelievable. Buy or sell, the Oreo is the best prepackaged cookie.
Bye. Chewy Chips Ahoy is right up there.
No, it's the Oreo. It's the best one.
All right, buy or sell. Randy Scott and Gary Streisky are great Sports Center hosts.
Bye. Randy's
Those
great.
Guys are awesome.
Randy's awesome.
Saturday
I've done
mornings.
Radio with Randy, he's fantastic.
They remind me of the guys that I grew up with when I watched Sports Center. And last but not least, springtime's around the corner. You're going to be outside. You're going to be turning on the Sonos, the Bluetooth. Jam bands are the perfect springtime music. This is a little widespread panic right here. Buy or sell, jam bands are the perfect springtime music.
I can't buy it if I don't know what it is.
Oh. Oh. You got to get cultured, man. Add some culture to your life. This is tremendous. This is my vibe. This is absolutely my vibe. This and a little Mojo and Joe's.
I'm going to have to give myself credit and say that I think I just got widespread panic on 92.9 The Game airwaves for the first time in station history.
I thought widespread panic is at the Falcons draft.
Zing. All right, that's it. Buy or sell. It's a beautiful Friday right here in Atlanta, Georgia. When we come back after the break, we will have three strikes for you. We'll touch base on everything else that's going on this weekend in the Atlanta sports scene. It's Drew Butler. It's Mark Zeno. This is the Steakhouse Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
.1040, 92.9, The Game. Drew Butler and Mark Zeno. Springtime is right around the corner, so we are playing the jam bands. Mark Zeno did not know that Dave Matthews is a jam band. I mean, I guess that's kind of, I would assume that jam band purists, Bo, probably say Dave Matthews is not a jam band, but some renditions, some live albums, I think they could certainly fall into the jam band category.
I think Dave is right there on the cusp.
Yeah.
I think because he's
it's
more
like
mainstream.
It's like intro level jam band.
But if you go see Dave in concert, there's a lot of long, drawn out instrumentals. There's
correct.
A lot of sing along.
Yes.
So yeah, sure.
Dave Matthews is like a gateway drug to Fish and Widespread.
Don't be
Humphreys
a jam band
McGee.
Gatekeeper.
Yeah. And keep in mind, I just had Widespread Panic live at the Georgia Theater played on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So I need flowers thrown my way for that feat. Three strikes is coming up, so go ahead and get on the phone lines. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. I'm going to give you the questions right now. Mark and I are going to talk a little bit more NFL, and then we're going to get into the phone line. So load them up, 404-726-0929. Here are your three strikes questions. And again, get on the phone lines. We'll jump to you in just a second. First question, March Madness opening weekend or the Masters? That's a Thursday through Sunday venture. Mm-hmm. March Madness opening weekend or the Masters? Second up, a TV show that lost its juice. It was just announced that Ted Lasso season 4 has been confirmed and Coach Ted Lasso will be coaching a women's team.
Bad idea. Bad idea. Like
the TV show that lost its juice.
There was no reason to try to extend this. Like, I thought Jason Sudeikis was really smart where he said it ran its course, it's done.
I can promise you that the money he's being paid will confirm that he's still very smart.
But I just, you're not going to end it better than what you just did.
Yeah.
It was smart to walk away when the show was at. People don't do the John Elway, Ray Lewis thing.
Yeah.
Go out on top.
Peyton Manning. Absolutely.
Right? Go out on top and just end it. You don't need to extend it. They were on top. I've never heard anybody say a bad word about that show.
Yeah.
You're going to try to recreate it.
It could get interesting in season 4. Last question of three strikes. What's the holiday that gives you the best excuse to drink? St. Patrick's Day is this upcoming Monday.
The one that ends
in
Y.
And if you woke up on a Monday at 10 a.m. on St. Patty's Day and decided to partake in a Guinness, the judgment's thrown out the window. What is the holiday with the best excuse to drink? So there are your three strikes questions. March Madness opening weekend or the Masters, a TV show that lost its juice, and the holiday with the best excuse to drink. Mark, I need to ask you, because Diana Russini obviously is discussing where Aaron Rodgers will end up. It sounds like the New York Giants have offered him more money than the Pittsburgh Steelers. How much money that is, we do not know. But right now, the zig and the zag in the free agent market for quarterbacks seems to be, where does Aaron Rodgers end up and where does Russell Wilson end up? And then I believe after those decisions are made, the bullseye will be put on Kirk Cousins. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I mean, again, I've tweeted this out. I actually believe the Falcons when they say that they are okay with keeping him on the roster. I think it's a terrible move.
Again, but they're already paying, and these are guaranteed dollars. So why on earth would you go through the process of, you know, offloading Kirk, however you want to say that, when you're still going to have to pay him? Why rush and maybe make a bad deal, or why just cut him when you're going to already have to pay him when you can have?
They're not going to
cut him. You can have potentially one of the most or the most experienced backup quarterback in the National Football League in 2025.
Come on. Like, you're not going to sit here and try to sell me on the most experienced backup. I mean, stop. Like, you have no role. None. I mean, the most experienced vice president. No one cares unless you become the president. No one cares unless you become the starter. So,
yeah.
I don't care about – you'll never get me to care about the backup quarterback. I never have. I never will. I don't care about who finished second as prom queen. I don't care about who finished second in the Indy 500. I don't care who finished second at the Masters.
That's fair.
Second sucks, okay?
That's very fair.
So, I don't care. That's – you. Some people get wrapped around that. I don't. Because you want to know why? If my starting quarterback goes down, my season's pretty much over anyway. So, there's that.
As evidenced last year when your starting quarterback was still playing.
Yeah, well, again, that's a whole different conversation. So, the point is, like – I just don't see the point in, you know, keeping a guy, one, who wants to be a starter and isn't going to be, two, took an open shot at the organization claiming they sort of lied about his injury, right, and created some level of acrimony. Like, I understand what Kirk was trying to do, you know, create a market for himself, him and his agent and representatives were trying
to,
hey, I was hurt, that's why the play was bad.
Like, obviously.
I understand both sides of it, but as the Falcons, you shouldn't want to, you know, like, don't spit in my face and then, you know, tell me it's raining. It's not what it is. So I just think that there comes a point where if you sit here and say, we're already paying him, we agreed to pay him, then getting him off the roster at any point in time before the season kicks off, which is, I believe, still a possibility, is the best thing to do. Part ways. It's okay to admit you made a mistake. It really is.
I agree with
that.
It's
okay to say we missed
on this one. It is okay to state that you made a mistake. However, I think that there could be a potential scenario where the Falcons get something in return for Kirk Cousins. That remains to be seen.
And I guess it's
going to depend on where Aaron Rodgers goes, where Russell Wilson goes. Where do you think those two guys end up, Mark Zeno, before we jump into three strikes?
I think Aaron Rodgers probably ends up with the Giants, to be honest.
Wow.
I mean, he's already in New York.
Doesn't have to move.
Just switches jerseys. Okay. Goes to the same building every day for work. Like,
do you think Russell Wilson then ends up back in Pittsburgh?
I think Russell Wilson probably knows his best chance to succeed is with Arthur Smith in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Like that, I don't think him going to another system.
Right.
With another head coach, right, another OC in three consecutive years probably bodes well for him to find some long-term stability if that's what he still desires in the NFL. The best move is for him to go back to Pittsburgh if they want him back. If they don't want him back, that's a different conversation. Or if they're saying, we only want you back at this number, and he doesn't feel like, you know, I suppose you could walk somewhere else. But Russell Wilson's best and most certain future is in Pittsburgh.
I would agree with that. All right, coming up in just a second, it's three strikes. Get on the phone lines, 404-726-0929. But before that, we got the big game of the night presented by John Foy and Associates. It's the Atlanta Hawks. They are at State Farm Arena tonight, taking on the L.A. Clippers, 7:30 p.m. tip. Zeno, the Clippers are 4.5-point favorites. The total's 233.5. You'll see James Harden. Of course, you'll see Trae Young. Hawks, nice little 4-game win streak. So keep it rolling.
Yeah, Clippers are a very hard team to figure out. You know, one, they're never the best version of themselves because it kind of depends on whether Kawhi's playing or not. But
4-game home win streak, by the way, for the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah. And that's been good.
You know what's better than good? Three strikes. All right. It's a Friday edition of Three Strikes, getting you ready for the weekend. Let's go to Marine Tim on the line. Marine Tim, March Madness opening weekend or the Masters?
Masters every time.
I agree. What's a TV show that lost its juice?
The Blacklist.
Never watched it. That had a lot of seasons, though, didn't it? It kind of ran out of steam there.
Yeah, it ran out of steam after about three seasons.
Yeah. What's the holiday with the best excuse to drink?
The Marine Corps birthday.
Hey, Marine Corps birthday. Hoorah. Thank you for your service, my friend.
Can I tell you a show that's lost its juice terribly?
Yes.
Yellowstone.
No, I'd never watched it.
I mean, talk about, like, it just after the third season, that thing took a nosedive off a cliff.
I've never seen one worse.
And the last season was god-awful.
I've never seen one worse than Billions, when they killed off Bobby Axelrod, who was the entire show, and he had to leave the country. I mean, it turned into just a complete mess. So Billions would be the TV show that lost its juice for me. All right, Ben. Ben, March Madness opening weekend or the Masters?
I'm taking March Madness, man. Nothing better than an upset.
Nothing better than an upset.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
What's a TV show that lost its juice?
Man, I was locked in for, I think, the first 3.5 or so seasons of The Walking Dead, but then it just got too outrageous and too weird.
That's just what tends to happen. The storylines just get so off the mark, and you're like, what is going on?
This is the thing. Like, I could when do they,
when they, when they When they met the...
Go ahead.
When, no, they met
when,
the,
they, when they
yeah,
got
go ahead.
To the landfill and met the people that forgot how to speak English and all that nonsense, nah, yeah, they lost me on that one.
What's the holiday with the best excuse to drink?
I'm going 4th of July for me.
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, summertime, cold beer, hot dogs, burgers. That's great. Thanks, Ben. Hey, Brandon, March Madness opening weekend or the Masters?
I'm going to strike another one in the Masters column.
Yep, I agree. I got to go Masters. It's just a special, special week of the year. What's a TV show that lost its juice?
You know, most of the seasons were really good, but by the end, I was done with House. It was just, you knew what was going to happen.
Yep, yeah. We're getting a lot of variety on that TV show question. I love it. And what is the holiday with the best excuse to have a drink?
Well, I'm going to go with the one that should have a holiday the day after. I'm going to go Super Bowl.
Yeah, Super Bowl is classic.
I mean, Super Bowl is classic. I could do a whole hour dissertation on the arc of TV shows and how they're created and why they fail. I mean, you know, the really good ones that are done the right way that last. You know, you talk about like Mad Men and The Sopranos, Seinfeld.
Sopranos, I mean, greatest TV show of all time.
Yeah, I mean, they do certain things that other shows are afraid to do.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at like
Breaking Bad, were you really afraid of Ozark? I lost interest after season 2 or 3 or whatever it was.
I mean, again, and they took a very hard turn.
Yeah.
And, you know, they tried to for storylines that weren't there and everything else, and I think that's always a culprit of why shows fall off.
All right, Tinker, talk to me. March Madness opening weekend or the Masters?
I like the March Madness.
There you go. It's 50-50 split so far. TV show that lost its juice?
Stranger Things.
Stranger Things, Netflix, filmed right here in Gwinnett County. What's the holiday with the best excuse to drink?
I'd have to go with like Thanksgiving, Christmas, only because those are the ones holidays that you want to be drinking because you got to hang out with them family members that are full of BS and annoy the hell out of you.
Use it as a medicine. I don't know if that's official doctor's advice, but Tinker, I understand. Thanks so much. Hey, Mr. Grimm, March Madness opening weekend or the Masters?
March Madness, best 4 days in sports.
Wow, that's a strong statement right there. What's a TV show that lost its juice?
Game of Thrones after season 4.
I agree with that 100%. I was out after season 3. Could not stand it anymore. Holiday with the best excuse to drink?
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I like Thanksgiving too. You roll it right into Black Friday. You got football on now. NFL on Thanksgiving Day. It's a great one. Thank you, Mr. Grimm. Got a couple of minutes here left. 404-726-0929. Melissa, March Madness opening weekend or the Masters?
No-brainer. Women's March Madness.
Women's March Madness.
Ooh, very nice.
Carolina.
I love it. Hey, TV show that lost its juice?
Oh, that for me was Arrow. It was a CW show, but yeah, Arrow lost its juice.
All right. And a holiday with the best excuse to drink?
No doubt, Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Have you seen like the conversations of the people that say they don't drink on Thanksgiving or how their families don't drink, or it's never even a thought to bring a bottle of wine to Thanksgiving lunch or dinner? To me, I say that's pretty strange. That's pretty strange indeed. Zeno, it's been fun, man.
Always a pleasure, brother. I mean,
always a pleasure. We get to do this again
on
Monday,
right? You tolerated
right?
me for 2 hours, much less than your wife tolerated you for 11 years. So
we will run it back on Monday morning. Bo and Day-Day, thanks so much, gentlemen. Hope everybody has a great weekend here in Atlanta. I know the storms are supposed to get a little bit iffy tomorrow night, so I hope it's not as severe as predicted. But other than that, looks like it's going to be in the 70s and sunny. Always a blast to sit in here on a Friday. Thanks to everybody. Have an awesome weekend. Andy and Randy up next. Appreciate you tuning into the Steakhouse right here on Atlanta Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.